services we've had so far this year, and I'm excited about today, excited about what God's going to do. So let's pray and ask for God's blessing. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the privilege it is to be in your house. And Father, we do ask and pray for those that are still on their way and getting here. Father, you bring them safely, Father. And I pray that you would just allow us to open our hearts and to worship you in spirit and in truth, to worship you, Father, from hearts that are just so thankful for what you have done. You've blessed us in many ways. And Father, above the many blessings that we have, Lord, the greatest is to be your child. And Father, I thank you this morning that we can worship you as your children. And so, Father, thank you for that. Pray, Father, that you would anoint your servant, Lord, as he preaches your word, that it would be something for the edification of every soul, of every heart here, Father. And we all need of you this morning. And I pray, Father, that your spirit and your word, Lord, would be preached and that, Lord, you would be able to do the work in each heart. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We're going to begin singing "I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazareth." Celebrating love, right? Valentine's Day was on Friday, and a weekend of thanking God for many of us, husbands and wives and significant others, right? Joining in that wonderful celebration. But what a wonderful thing it is also to celebrate the greatest love and the greatest love that we hope to be able to exemplify in our own relationships, and that's the love of Christ. What a wonderful reality to think about that. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus because he first loved me. And his love is something we did not deserve. His love was bestowed upon us, was given to us because of grace, because of grace. And that is why we sing this morning, "Grace Greater Than Our Sin."
Yeah.
Praise God for that grace. Let's shake hands with one another. Let's welcome each other and use the next minute or so to be able to shake hands with one another and say welcome this morning to Bethany Baptist Church. What a joy it is to see you this morning. Guys, how are you guys doing? Hopefully everybody's doing great. How's y'all's Valentine's? Anybody get anything? Well, if you didn't, there's always next year. We do have a little gift. Let me go get it. For all the visitors, if this is your first time, thank you. We do have a connection card that we do want you guys to sign up for. It's just a way for us to get to know you a little bit better. Your name, your last name, your address, stuff like that. And we do have little gifts for you guys here. And if this is not your first time, you come every Sunday. We want to welcome you again. Let's continue praising our Lord.
What a wonderful reality to sing about God's grace, to stand amazed in His love, and to be able to rejoice in that reality. When we welcome you this morning, we welcome you to a church that hopefully you feel at home in and that you feel a community in. That's part of what makes a local church so incredibly awesome, because there is that closeness. There's that bond because we have one common Father, right? We have one common Father. I didn't get to be here Wednesday, but I did see the live stream, and what a wonderful ministry that was, that ministry to the fatherless. And that was a wonderful ministry. And thank God that in the one Supreme Father, we can all be united as His children. And let's continue worshiping this morning and singing In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, His solid ground. Firm through the fiercest crowd and storm. What heights of love, what depth of peace. When fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all. Here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took our flesh, fullness of God in
on Him was laid. He
This last song speaks that continues to worship Christ for who He is. All I have is Christ. So let's finish our worship time singing, All I Have is Christ.
I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way, the sin that promised joy and light, had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will, and if you had not loved me first, I would review you still. Hallelujah! All I have is Christ. Hallelujah! Jesus, please. But as I read my hell and rage, indifferent to the cross, you looked upon my helpless state and led me to the cross, and I beheld God's love in place. You suffered it. Now, Lord, I would be yours alone and lift so all my feet, the strength to follow your command could never come from me. Oh, Father, use my ransom life in any way you choose, and let my song forever be my only love in you. Hallelujah! All I have is Christ. Hallelujah! Jesus
ushers come forward. I do want to say thank you to the new members of the worship team. Let's give them a round of applause. Thank you. We will be having several that will be joining us in the coming weeks, and we're excited about that. But we appreciate the participation and orchestra. Thank you. What a wonderful worship time this morning. We'll give the time over to Pastor Jeremy.
Amen. I hope you enjoyed that worship time, and I always enjoy here at Bethany Baptist just in being able to worship God that way corporately. I know there's a lot of places that don't do it like that anymore, but I'm glad that we still do it this way, and I enjoy just singing to our God and worshiping Him through the wonderful singing. And thank you so much for participating this morning. I hope it was a blessing to your heart to worship God the way we have thus far. But now this morning, as we take time to continue our worship, we want to worship God now through the means of giving. And in fact, the Bible teaches us that giving is a way, and not only in which we worship God, but in which we show God and tell God that we love Him. So this morning, as we give, I want to remind you, let's give with a heart of love and a heart of thankfulness and a heart that says, God, I love you, and that's why I give to you. If you're a visitor here with us this morning, let me just assure you that we've not invited you so that you can just participate in some offering. In fact, it's really, this service is our gift to you. I hope you enjoy this service, but this is not why we've invited you here to participate in any kind of giving. But as members and regular attenders, you know, this is a time in which we worship, a very serious time. And so I pray and hope that it'll be a time that will be a help to you and a time of truly worshiping God as you give this morning. Well, as we do that, why don't we pray and ask God to bless this time as we give. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for allowing us the wonderful blessing that it is to give. In fact, your word teaches us that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And being here in your house this morning, Father, we are reminded of the truth that your word teaches of that blessing. But Father, we don't only want to give because there's blessing in it, but Father, we want to give because we love you this morning. And Father, you've been so good to us. You've been such a gracious God and such a loving God. And Father, it would just not be right if we were to receive of your hand all that we have received and never reciprocate that love. And so this morning, Father, as we give to you, we want to give with a heart of love and a heart of thankfulness. Father, I pray that you would bless the offerings that are received today, that you would multiply them as they're used for the furtherance of your gospel. May they be an encouragement to the missionaries that are around our world that we're supporting through this church. May they be a help in our efforts to reach our city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray that you bless this time of worship now. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the wounds of Christ that flowed at the cross.
I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. As summer clouds we fade and die, bring you the beauty by, but an eternal call to us at the cross. I will not boast in wealth or might, or human wisdom's fleeting light, but I will boast in knowing Christ at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone.
To wonders here that I confess my worth and my unworthiness, my value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross.
I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring.
wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him, no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Matthew chapter number 20 this morning. Matthew chapter number 20. And we're going to continue the series that we started at the beginning of the year, and that is the series on being God-focused this year of 2020, being God-focused. And so we've learned a few things about being God-focused and the importance of it, being God-focused in our service to Him, being God-focused really in many areas of our life. And really this series is going to be going through different areas of the Christian life, and how we need to be God-focused in every area of our Christian life. And so this morning's passage is going to be in Matthew chapter number 20. And if you still need a bulletin, if you've not received a bulletin, you can go ahead and raise your hand and let the ushers know. And the reason it's important at this time to have a bulletin is in the bulletin, you'll have the notes for the message, and that way you can follow along as we study God's Word together, as we take time to grow together in what God's Word says. It's so important to do that, and so if you've not received the notes, just go ahead and raise your hand and the ushers will get one right to you, all right? Matthew chapter number 20, starting in verse number 1, Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 1, it says like this, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good men of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and the truth that we find in it. This morning, as we study this passage, Father, I pray that first of all, you would fill me with your spirit, that as I share your word this morning, that it would be with power, that it would be from on high. I pray that you would help me to speak with clarity and to communicate the truths that you have laid on my heart for your people this morning. And Father, I throw myself on your altar this morning, that Father, you might use me to communicate this message. I pray that our hearts, the hearts of every person in this place would be ready to receive your word with joy, with gladness, and that we would not only receive it, but Father, that we would apply its truths into our lives, that we would leave here different than the way in which we came. And so, Father, help us to understand this truth of priorities in our life. Help us to understand the truth of making you the priority in our life, and how to do that this morning. Give us your wisdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, to live a God-focused life, we must have God-focused priorities in our life. Now, a priority is defined as having superiority in rank, position, or privilege. And by the way, we all have priorities in life. When I say we need to have God-focused priorities, I don't think that you have trouble distinguishing what the word priority means. It means what is important in your life and really the order of importance of the things in your life. You see, priorities help us to make decisions in life. And we know that life is full of decisions, right? Even being here this morning, we've already made countless decisions being here. We had to decide what time we were going to leave our house. We had to decide what time we were going to get up, what time we were going to get ready, what shirt we were going to wear, were we going to wear a tie or not. And all these decisions that we were going to make before we even got to here in this place at 10:08 this morning. Life is just full of decisions. And what priorities do in our lives is they help us with those decisions. And that's why priorities are so important. There's a preacher from last century by the name of Clovis Campbell, and he used to share this story all the time. He said he had heard about these two steamboats that were traveling from Memphis to New Orleans. Now, since they were both leaving at the same time, these boats were kind of pretty close to one another. And as they started their journey, those that were on one boat started to talk to the people on the other boat. And some of the sailors there on that one steamboat were yelling at the other ones. And they're saying, man, we notice you guys are really slow on that boat. Can't you go any faster? And before you know it, they started talking with one another, started challenging one another. And before you know it, the race was on. Who was going to get to New Orleans first? Well, as they were going down, of course, they started burning the coal as much as they could, trying to pick up speed and trying to get faster. Both boats were doing the best they could on that. Well, one of the boats did not have enough fuel to keep going. You see, they were transporting a cargo from Memphis to New Orleans, and they just had enough fuel to get there, but at a slower pace. And since they did not expect to be challenged by this other steamboat on who was going to get there first, they ran out of the fuel pretty quick. But luckily, one of the sailors that was on the boat there was pretty quick thinking and found that in one of the rooms there on the boat, there was some wood and some stuff that was there. And so he went and got it and he threw it into the furnace and they found that that was burning just as fast as the coal. And they started noticing that their boat started going a little bit faster. Well, that encouraged them a little bit. So they went to start looking at all the other rooms on the boat and see, is there more of this wood? Is there more of the things that we can just throw in the furnace? And they found in the other rooms, they found some more stuff, and they started throwing it in the furnace. And I mean, they started picking up speed. Well, the other boat, of course, been doing the same, started throwing even more coal in theirs, and for a while they were neck and neck again. So finally, the one steamboat that had started throwing everything that was in the rooms into the fire decided, you know what, we still have that cargo that we're transporting. And I want to say that there's a lot of wood in that cargo. And they went, and of course, they were transporting desks, and they get these desks, and they start chopping them up and start throwing it in the furnace. Man, they really picked up speed after that. And before you know it, they were so fast, they got there to New Orleans way before that other boat. And they were so excited about the fact that they won that they didn't realize and didn't remember that they had thrown all the cargo that they were supposed to be transporting into that fire. You know, I think about that story and what Pastor Campbell was trying to communicate to the people he was telling that story to, and it's this. Sometimes in life, we get so focused on one thing that we lose what the priority of what we're doing is. These people on this boat, the whole purpose for why they were going from Memphis to New Orleans was to transport these desks. But in the process, they got distracted with another boat. They thought, I got to race these people. They threw all their cargo in there just to win the race. But really, they lost the whole purpose of what they were doing. You know, sometimes in life, when we don't have priorities that are God-focused in our life, we can accomplish a lot of things, but we lose our purpose along the way. That's what makes priorities so important in your life. They're going to help you and I to stay on purpose. They're going to help us to stay on focus for what God wants us to do with our life. Priorities help us to define what is important in our life. Now, in Matthew chapter 20, what we're going to study this morning, I feel is a story that Jesus shares with his disciples. And there's a lot of truths in this story. In fact, there's a lot of really ways that you can look at what Jesus was teaching in this story. If you go back to chapter 19, the reason that Jesus shares this story is a question that was given to him by Peter. If you go back to chapter 19 and verse number 27, it says that Peter was there with Jesus, as was all the other disciples. And if you read all of chapter 19, you'll find that there was a rich young ruler that came and asked Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus, knowing this young man's heart, told him, well, you got to keep the commandments. And he said, well, I've done that. And Jesus asked him that question, or told him that, not because by keeping the commandments he could have salvation, but just to show what he was trusting in. He was kind of trusting in himself. He was trusting in his good works. And then Jesus said, okay, well, if your good works are that good, and if you're so dedicated to really following God and finding eternal life, he said, then you're really rich. Why don't you sell everything? This is another good thing you can do. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then follow me. And of course, a rich young ruler said, that's a little bit too much to ask. I'm trusting in my good works, and I'm also trusting, though, in my riches. And if I give all of that up just to follow you, I don't know if it'd be worth it. I don't know if I'd find what I'm looking for. And Jesus says, that's the only way you'll find what you're looking for. So you see, the only way to eternal life, Jesus told him, is through me. Well, this young ruler, the Bible says, turned and walked away sad because he couldn't give that up. And then Peter asked Jesus this question. Being there, hearing what Jesus had just told this rich young ruler, Peter begins to think. And he said, you know, I may not have had as much as that guy had in his life. I may not have had the same kind of wealth. But you know, Jesus, I've given up everything. And I'm looking around and I see Andrew and I see John and I see James and I see everybody here of the disciples, Thaddeus, everybody. And we've all given up everything to follow you. Well, what are we going to get? And Jesus says, well, I can tell you anyone that's given everything up for me will be rewarded 100-fold. If you've left houses or families or whatever you have left for me, listen, it'll be repaid and rewarded 100-fold. And he says, as for you, you, my disciples, you're going to be reigning with me in the future kingdom. And then he says this in verse number 30. It kind of almost sounds like it's out of context. He says this at the end, chapter 19 and verse number 30. He says, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And when you're reading that, at least when I read it the first time, I thought, what does that have to do with anything? He's talking about what is he going to get out of following Jesus, giving up everything. And Jesus answers him by saying, listen, I promise you, you're going to be rewarded 100-fold. And just remember, he that is first shall be last, and last shall be first. Okay. There's a lot of different debate as to what this passage and this story talks about. Because after that, Jesus gives the story that we just read. The story of this Lord of the vineyard that goes and starts looking for laborers to come and work in his vineyard. And Jesus tells this story to teach them this principle of the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Now, some people look at this story and they say, well, I think this is a story of the church and how God began with those early that followed him with his disciples. And then throughout history, he's called different ones at later times. And we're all serving Christ. And possibly that's what the story has a truth that you could find. And some say that, oh, it's the difference between those of Israel and those of the church. And they read into the story that way. And I guess that could be true as well. I'm not here this morning to solve the debate of exactly what Jesus is talking about, what everything represents. There are some truths, though, that are here that I believe Jesus really wanted them to understand in telling this story. And it was the truth about priorities in their life. You see, that of giving everything up and following Jesus revealed the priority that was in Peter's life. It revealed the priorities of those that were the disciples. And I believe that Jesus is sharing this story because he wants you and I to know and to think about what are the priorities in our life. He said, Peter, I understand you've given everything up for me, and you will be rewarded for that. But I want you to think about something, Peter. Just think about this principle. Those that are first shall be last, and last shall be first. And he shares this story. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you about just the priorities that you find in this story. And how it applies to the principle of first shall be last and the last shall be first. How God uses this in his kingdom, this principle, to help us decide what are the priorities in our life. What is it that we're supposed to decide in our life? Because life is full of decisions. And some of them are very difficult. I feel like the older you get, sometimes the tougher the decisions become. I remember when I was in middle school, I used to think some decisions were really, really tough. And I look back and I say, I wish I could go back to just having to make those decisions, right? But as you get older, decisions are a lot tougher. What you're going to do with your life and who you're going to marry and how you're going to raise your kids and where are you going to send them. You have all these decisions that are really tough and you need help. How am I going to decide what to do? You have all these opportunities that come in your life as you get older. And these people say, why don't you come over here and work for us? And other companies say, well, come and work for us. And you go, man, they're both good companies. How do I decide? And that's where priorities come into our life. And they help us with those decisions. Well, Jesus begins to share with his disciples the priorities that ought to be in their life as they follow him. These God-focused priorities. So I want to share with you quickly three truths that he shares in this story for them to have to make the right kind of priorities in their life. The first one, the first truth I want to share with you is this from the story, that his work is greater than mine. God's work is greater than mine. If you're going to have the right priority in your life, then you have to believe this truth, that God's work is greater than my work. Now, in this story, the Bible's the passage here says, the Bible says that the Lord of the vineyard went out to look for laborers to work in his vineyard. Right. And he went out pretty early. It was about 6 a.m. in the morning. All right. So there's a lot of work to be done. He has a vineyard. He knows right now is the time to go and hire people to help me in the vineyard and to get the work done. And he goes, and as he goes very early, and he finds these workers. He finds these workers that are willing to work for him, to go into that field and begin to work. And I want you to notice, first of all, when it comes to this, that in the story, these workers chose to go work for him. They chose to go work for him. Now, this is important. This is important because in these days, when Jesus is talking, when he's sharing this story, in these days, the marketplace was in the middle of the city. And if you had a farm and you had all this land and you needed to get people to work on that farm for you, you wouldn't probably employ them all year round. You probably didn't have enough work for them to do all year round. But when it came time to start picking the grapes or the oranges or whatever they were going to pick off the trees, you needed a lot of workers. And so to get those seasonal workers, they'd go to the middle of the marketplace and they'd start asking who needed some work. Now, I wish I could tell you that there was only one farmer per city, but there wasn't. There's a lot of farmers in the city. Right? There's a lot of people that own land. There's a lot of people that had their ranch and that they needed help in their vineyards to begin to do the work. And so as they go down to that place, you have all these opportunities. There's not just one rancher that's telling you, hey, come work for me. There's like three or four of them. And I want you to notice that for this specific story and for this vineyard, that those workers chose him. Now, I'm not sure why they chose him. I don't know if he was the highest paying one. I don't know if he was the one that really had the best sales pitch to them. The Bible says that he arranged a contract with them for a penny a day. By the way, that was the normal salary. So I don't know what really distinguished this Lord of the Vineyard that much, but something distinguished him to the point where these workers chose to go to his vineyard. He didn't force them. He didn't threaten them. He didn't do anything other than just invite them to come and to work at his vineyard. Now you say, well, why is that so important? Well, as I've said before, in life we have a lot of decisions. We have a lot of choices that we can make. We have a lot of choices of where we can spend our time and what we can do with our money, right? Each and every one of us that has a job has an income. And with my income, I don't know anybody in here that's ever called me and said, this is what you should do with your income. I have a choice to do with what I'm going to do with my paycheck. I don't recall calling any of you and saying, hey, I know you got paid today. Here's what you need to do with it. You decide what you're going to do with your income. You say, one of the choices in life is what we're going to do with what we have. One of the choices in life that we have is who we're going to follow and what we're going to do. See, the priorities in our life, all right, depending on the priorities in our life, will determine the decision that we make. So here's the key here, okay? The principle is this. God's work is greater than my work. I have all these opportunities that are coming to me, and in those opportunities, included in those opportunities, is an opportunity that God says, I want you to come work for me. I want you to do this work that I need you to do. The question is, are you going to follow that work? See, there's nobody in here that's serving God because he forced you to serve him. There's no one here that's here at church because someone pointed a gun at you and said, go to church or else. We're all here because we chose to be here. And if we do anything for God, it's because we choose to do something for God. It's so important for us to understand. If you're going to choose to do something for God, it's because you've come to the realization that his work is better than mine. It's more important. It's a greater work than my work. Then I want you to notice, secondly, about these workers is that they trusted his word. He goes to the marketplace, says, I want you to come and work for me. They choose to go and work for him. And he says, and at the end of the day, at 6 p.m., I'll pay you your wages. I'll give you a full day's wage. By the way, he did that at 6 a.m., and then he did it again at 9 a.m., and then he did it again at 12 p.m., he did it again at 3 p.m., and then he did it again at 5 p.m. Okay, he is going and telling every time he goes to get these workers, he's telling them the same thing. Hey, come and work for me. Come and work for me, and I promise you, at the end of the day, I'll pay you for your work. I'll pay you for your work. I'll pay you for your work. You know, they had to trust what he said. I don't know if he had a bag of money, but the Bible says he didn't have. Doesn't say that he had a bag of money with him. Just says he told them, go, and whatever's right, I'll give you. They had to trust his word. Can I say, when it comes to the priorities of your life, if you really are going to believe that God's work is greater than your work and it's more important than the work that you choose to do for yourself, then you're just going to have to trust what he says. You're going to have to trust that in working for God, he will do what he says he will do. You know, sometimes we don't do a lot for God because we kind of wonder if he can really provide for us. I'll put it more practical for you this morning. Sometimes we don't give in an offering because we think, if I give to him, I'll never recoup that money. That money will be gone. If I take my time and if I take my Saturday to go and work that whole Saturday, when am I going to rest? When am I going to get my day off? You see, the only time that you're going to be able to give a Saturday to God or give part of your salary to God is when you believe that his work is greater than your work. And that begins when you choose him. When you choose to follow him, then you'll make that investment. Then you'll make that your priority. You see, when you choose to trust that he will do what he said he will do, then it becomes a priority in your life. Many times the reason that we don't really follow God the way we ought to follow God is because he really isn't a priority. We have all these promises that we hear, and instead of making God's promise the one we trust all these false promises. Because let me tell you something. Just like this wasn't the only guy in the marketplace looking for people to hire, not the only guy probably promising that he was going to pay them, in life, there's a lot of people that also want us to work for them. Can I say, the devil wants you working for him. And the devil will also make you promises. It's been like that from the beginning. You remember the promise he made Adam and Eve? Hey, if you just eat this fruit, you'll be like God. Life will be so much better. So much greater. If you just do this. You know, the devil's make his own promises. And that's why it's a question of trust. Who do you trust? You see, if God's work is so much greater than our work, then we'll trust His word over anybody else's word. That's what makes it a priority in our life. That's what will help you guide your decisions in life. You got to trust it. You got to trust Him. So many times, I don't know if we believe that. So many times we let our priorities go crazy and get way out of order. It's kind of like the story of the lady that I heard that went to the Super Bowl. And while she was there, she was sitting next to an empty seat. And one of the fans at the Super Bowl was so surprised. I mean, how can you come to a Super Bowl and it's not sold out? How could there be a seat that's available? And he remarked to the woman, he's like, aren't you surprised that there's an empty seat next to you here in the Super Bowl? And she said, well, I'm not too surprised. This seat was my husband's. She said, but he passed away. And that's why it's empty. And the man said, wow, I'm really sorry for your loss. He said, but I'm really surprised that nobody else jumped at the chance to come with you. No nephews or nieces or children. And she said, no, I was a little bit surprised too. They all chose to go to the funeral instead of come with me. Sometimes priorities get out of whack, right? But here's what I'm saying this morning. I'm saying if you're going to have the right priority, a God-focused priority in your life, then you have to believe, listen, His work is more important than mine. These workers they chose and they had to believe, listen, this is the most important work. This is the vineyard I need to go to work at. And I got to trust that this man is going to pay me at the end of the day. They trusted His word. His work is more important and greater than mine. But I want to show you a second principle that leads to the right kind of priorities in our life. The second truth here is this. I work for the rewarder, not for the reward. You see, the second truth that this story teaches about our priorities is the motivation behind the work that we're doing. These workers were all motivated by something, and the motivation was different for the first and from the others. In that first one, the Lord of the vineyard had basically had a contract with them. Said, you work for me today, I'll give you a day's wage. I'm going to give you a penny. So their motivation was the work. The motivation was the reward. Okay, if I can just make it to 6 p.m. today in this vineyard, then I will get my wages. I'll get what I'm working for. And so their motivation was all about that. It was really all about the reward that they were going to get. They were willing to sweat all day. They were going to be working in the morning and in the hottest time of the day, in the afternoon, all the way to the evening. And they said, hey, listen, it's worth it. I'm willing to do that. And they were willing to put all that work in just so they could get their day's wage. Now, that was their motivation. Now, the people that were there at 9 a.m. and the people that got there at 12 p.m., he never told them that he was going to give them a day's wage. He just simply said, hey, whatever's right, I'll give you. Those that got there at 9 a.m. and at 12 p.m. and at 3 p.m. and at 5 p.m., an hour before work was done, all they had was, he said he'd give us something. They weren't really motivated too much by the reward because they didn't even know what the reward was. They were much more motivated by the rewarder, by the person that hired them. So let me give you this truth here. It's this. The right motivation doesn't focus on the prize, but rather on the person. It doesn't focus on the prize, but rather on the person. Sometimes our priorities really get out of hand in our life because we begin to look at prizes instead of the person. In other words, in this story, by the way, the Lord of the vineyard is God. And sometimes we look at God and say, what are you going to give me? Not who are you? Let me tell you what Micah said to the people of Israel in his day. He says this in Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. In other words, God has given you what is good. God is good. He's shown you what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Micah said, listen, God is good, But listen, you don't just focus on what his goodness is and what he's going to give to you, but focus on him. All he's asking is, will you walk with me? Can we fellowship? It's kind of like as a parent, we try to do all we can for our kids, don't we? We buy them clothes that they need. We take them to the doctor if they're sick. As they get old enough, we try to give them a vehicle to go around and give them an allowance. I mean, we do all that we can for our kids, don't we? But wouldn't it be sad if the kids stopped loving us when we stopped giving them things? In other words, we're not giving to him so that he can love us or so he can love those things. We want him to love us because of us, not because of what we can give to him, but because of who we are. You know, when it comes to the priorities in our life, God says, I want you to understand, you ought to work for the rewarder, not for the reward. Follow God because of who God is, not because of what you think he can give you. So many times it happens in our life that we leave God out because we're all about what God can give us. And when he doesn't give us that, oh man, he's just not as good of a God as I thought he was. Right? Why am I going through this difficulty? God, why is this happening to my family? Why did he have to get cancer? Why did she have to die early? I mean, God, you're so good. Why does this happen to me? As if nobody else ever loses someone out of time. As if everybody else has a great life and not you. You see, God never said life without difficulty if you follow me. God never said that. We live in a fallen world full of sin. I mean, difficulties are difficulties. The way you get through difficulties is having the right priorities in your life. And that starts with seeing who God is, not what he can do for me. Don't be all about the prize, be about the person. And then I would say this, listen, have no expectation. Those workers, I mean, I think about the worker that got hired at 5 o'clock. Man, I don't even know if he was thinking, what's he going to give me, 50 cents? I mean, if it's $7.50 an hour, maybe he'll give me $7. I don't know. But $7 is better than nothing. I don't think he was going, man, $7, man, I'm going to be rich. I think he was saying, you know what, this guy, he needs, I'd love to work for him. I don't know what it is about him, but I'd love to work for him. I don't know what he told him at the market. I don't know if it was just some time that he spent with him. Whatever it was, he said, it's worth it for an hour just to go and just to work for him, just to be around him. You see, they didn't have an expectation of a whole lot because their focus, their motivation was the rewarder, not the reward. I love that Paul told those Christians in Philippi, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul's focus, if you read what he wrote and you read about his life, Paul's focus wasn't the prize. It was the person of Christ. It was the person. Read 2 Timothy, you'll find. It wasn't all about the crown that he was going to get. It was just about being faithful to the one who called him. Paul told Timothy, man, I think it's amazing that God would save me. I think it's amazing that God would call me to go work in his vineyard. I think it's amazing. You know, a lot of times, as teenagers, as young people, as young couples, as Christians, we forget how amazing that is. Because we're all about the prize, but not about the person. Priorities in life, you have the God-focused priority. It means focusing on him, not what he can give me, not what he can do for me, but just on who he is. We find in this story, Jesus teaches, hey, listen, you want to have the right kind of priorities in your life. Yes, Peter, you want to know, what am I going to get out of this? We've given everything up for you. You have, Peter, you have. But just remember, those that are first will be last. There's a priority in life, Peter, that you need to learn. And by the way, Peter learned it. If you read 1 Peter and 2 Peter, it doesn't even sound like the same guy that you read about in Matthew and Mark, Luke, and John. Peter wasn't asking. He doesn't write about those questions in 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Man, it's all about the great shepherd. It's all about him who gave his life and shed his blood for me. Peter's focus changed completely. The priorities in his life changed because he learned this truth. Man, it's all about the rewarder, not the reward. Then let me give you a third principle that leads to the right kind of priorities in your life. And it's this. Look at his grace and not your goodness. Look at his grace and not your goodness. By the end of the story, starting in verse number 8, this lord of the vineyard tells his steward, okay, call the laborers. Work is done. It's time to give them their pay. And he says, start with the ones that we hired last. Start with the 5 o'clock people, workers. And he gives them a penny, a whole day's wage. And then he did that with the 3 o'clock workers, and the noon workers, and the 9 a.m. workers. By this time, those that started at 6 a.m. are thinking, we've got to be getting a really nice bonus. I mean, if the 5 o'clock guy got a whole day's wage, I'm getting a whole day. I'm getting maybe 2 days wage. Listen, I worked 11 more hours. I should get 11 times what that guy got. So you can imagine the surprise when they just got the same pay that he got. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. He works 1 hour, he gets a whole day's wage. I work 12 hours and I get the same pay. How's that even possible? And they start complaining. Why? That's not right. That's not fair. And it's interesting that the Lord of the Vineyard says, wait, we had a contract, right? Well, yeah. And in that contract, you agreed for a day's wage, a day's work. Well, yeah. He said, then, am I going back on my word? Well, no. Am I giving you less than what we agreed upon? Well, no. Then what are we complaining about? Well, how come you gave them just as much as you gave us? You know what they missed in that? Because they had their prize, their focus on the prize and not the person. They missed totally that the Lord of this vineyard is gracious. He's gracious. They couldn't see how good of a Lord he was. They couldn't see how great he was. You know, when you look at his grace and not your goodness, when you look at his work and not your work, you know what you find? That he's better than what you think. He's better than what you think. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 10 years old. I was at Camp Loma de Vida, actually. I remember that day. I don't remember what day of the week it was. It was one of those 5 days between Monday and Friday. I don't remember which one it was. I just remember the event. And I remember the teacher talking about that week. We were talking and learning about David and Saul. And I remember somehow in those lessons about how God helped David to defeat Goliath. And then the invitation was made somewhere through that week. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, would you accept him? And I remember raising my hand and asking Jesus to forgive me my sins and be my Savior. And I remember how awesome that was. But 26 years later, I think he's better than even what I thought he was when I was 10. I think his salvation is more amazing now than when I accepted his salvation. You know, I've learned as I look at his grace and not my goodness, that he's a whole lot better than I thought he was. And when you have the wrong priorities in your life, you forget how good God is. We forget how blessed we are. How good we've had. God's never done something that's not good for us nor to us. God is goodness. God is grace. You see, when we align our priorities correctly, we find that God is better than we thought he was. He's bigger than we thought he was. He's stronger than we thought he was. He's kinder than we thought he was. I mean, he's just better than you think he is. Now, let me just say this. When you look at his grace instead of your goodness, you find that he gives you more than what you deserve. You know what the people at 5 o'clock learned? Wow. He gave us a full day's wage for just 1 hour of work. This guy is amazing. Amazing. And what he tells those first workers, the Lord of the vineyard, he tells them, listen, I can pay them whatever I want to pay them. It's my money. You know why we usually pay the minimum? Because we want to keep more of our money. He said, but I'm not looking to keep more of my money. I'm looking to give more of my money. And if I want to give them more of my money, I'm going to give them more of my money. I'm not bad because I do that. I'm not a bad boss. I paid you what I agreed and what you agreed to work for. That has nothing to do with it. What you're missing is how gracious I am. How I give to those that don't deserve. You know what salvation is all about this morning? Getting more than we deserve. That's what it is. Can I say this morning, if you've not accepted that kind of grace from God, today you can accept that kind of grace. You say, do I got to go and work for it? No, the Bible says it's not by our works of righteousness. But it's by His work. It's by His grace that we are saved. Through faith. Believing what He said. Trusting His word. Believing what He said. And accepting Him. The Bible says, and anyone that called upon, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. It's not by working. It's not by our works of righteousness that we are saved, but by His work on the cross. You see, when you look at His grace and what He did on the cross, you find that there is no goodness in you. There's none that are righteous, none that seek after God. We have all gone astray. All weak like sheep have gone astray. Gone every man to his, turned every man to his own way. And that's why the Lord had to lay on Christ the iniquity of us all. He gave us more than we deserve. You see, when you have that, when you have that truth in your heart and in your life, the priority is not hard. It leads to the right kind of priorities in your life. So I wonder this morning, how are your priorities today? Is God's work greater for you than your own work? In other words, what are you living for? Who are you living for? Or really, what's motivating you for what you're doing? Are you living for the rewarder or the reward? Is your Christian life all about, hey, what am I going to get out of this, as Peter once did? What are we going to get out of this? I mean, listen, we were here first. And God said, just because you were here first doesn't mean you're going to be here last. It just depends on what priorities you have, Peter. I can promise you, you have the right priorities. This is what's coming your way. But you have the right priorities. What's motivating you, the rewarder or the reward? What are you experiencing today? Have you experienced His grace? Have you stopped trusting in your goodness and started looking at His grace? Man, this morning, God wants to have the right priorities in our life. So I want to challenge you just to keep God as a priority of your life. Have God-focused priorities. Take time this week to share God's love with somebody. If you're going to, it's because it's a priority in your life. Take time to just spend with God and say, I just want to get to know you a little bit better. Because if you do that, it's because it's a priority in your life. Where you're saying, I want to get to know the rewarder. It doesn't really matter what the reward is. And I hope that you'll take time to just draw closer to Him and to His grace. Just meditate upon how good God's been for you. And that will always lead to the right priorities in your life. And that way, when someone challenges you, hey, I want you to do this, you can say, you know what? That work that you're asking me to do, that's God's work. That's more important than me. And that person, man, God is so good. Absolutely, I'll give him my time. Absolutely, I'll give him my money. Absolutely, I'll do whatever he's asking me to do. Absolutely. Because he's good. This morning, I want to challenge you. Have God-focused priorities in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word and for your truth. And Father, this short story teaches us so much about who will be first and who will be last. Oh, Father, help us to understand that in our lives, it's so important for us to have the right priorities. And as we looked at what God-focused priorities look like, I pray that you would help us to have those in our life. Help us, Father, to live them out and to remember these three truths that really create the right kind of priorities in our life, to make the right kind of decisions for our life. Oh, Father, I pray that you would work in our hearts. And Father, bless just this quick time of invitation. As the piano plays, every eye is closed, every head is bowed. Perhaps you're here this morning. You're saying, you know what, Pastor, to be honest with you, my priorities as of late haven't really been as God-focused as they ought to be. Man, I know we're just starting the year, but the way I ended last year and the way I've begun this year, it's not really been with the right kind of priorities. But this year, and starting now, I want to make it my priority to draw closer to Him and make Him my focus and my motivation, not what He can do for me. I want to make sure that I take time to do what is most important, to work, and what I know is most important, and that's His work and not my work. And I want to be more thankful for the grace I've received. If that's your prayer and your decision, will you just raise your hand? I just want to pray for you this morning. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. Oh, I see those hands. God bless you. The last invitation I want to give is perhaps you're here this morning and you've never really experienced the grace of God that I was talking about. You've never come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And perhaps this morning you're saying, you know what, Pastor, that's what I need. I need God's salvation in my life because I can tell you right now, I don't have it. Would you just pray for me? I want to make a decision this morning to accept Jesus as my Savior. Is there anyone like that? Raise their hand. Father, thank you so much for your word and for your truth. I pray this morning as we get ready to dismiss, I pray that you would help us to apply this truth into our lives. Help us to not only live it, but Father, help us to share it with others. And that, Father, we can look at the end of our work and be able to say we had the right priorities in our life. Help us to do this, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. As we stand to our feet this morning, just a few announcements before we get out the door. What a great challenge. God-focused. Just a few things that we want to put before you. One in particular that's a little bit further away, but we want you to start thinking about it. And that's the Vision and Victory Banquet that will be held March the 7th. And we're looking forward to that as we continue on and asking God to guide us and lead us in regards to the facility expansion and what we're trying to do in regards to the new building and things like that. And that Vision and Victory Banquet.